Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock. Coming up, I'll tell you why we need to pump the brakes on all this Lamar Jackson hype in Baltimore.
And I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you why Tom Brady will actually miss Jimmy Garoppolo. He will. Speak for yourself on a Tuesday. Starts now.
Sure did last year. Missed him. Missed him big time. All right, hello and welcome. We're joined today by a couple of longtime NFL players, Greg Jennings and Jeff Schwartz. Let's start in the NFL, where the Rams just handed out another big contract, giving Todd Gurley a 4-year, $60 million extension with $45 million guaranteed, a record for running backs. The deal comes just a week after they gave Brandon Cooks a big extension before he even took the field. Meanwhile, their best defensive player, Aaron Donald, is still without a new deal. Cowherd, you like what the Rams are doing here?
I don't have a definitive yes. They got a bunch of great players. Brandon Cooks, terrific. Ndamukong Suh, Marcus Peters, terrific. Sam Shields, Green Bay, good player. Aqib Talib. They already had the best punter in the league, the best kicker in the league. They already had one of the best tackles. I mean, how often in sports do you, if this was the Yankees and they added six baseball players who are all-stars, you'd be like, oh, that's great. Football's weird, though. It's a team game. It's choreography. I don't have a problem with the Lakers getting. NBA is a star league. It's a personality league. NFL's not a personality league. It has a lot of big contracts and big egos and big stars in that locker room.
Yeah, you put a positive spin on all those other sports. They're just not as hard as football. And so they're not as difficult. And so you can be a little bit lazy. You can be satisfied, play baseball, play basketball, do it. Football is for the unsatisfied. Football's for the angry and the pissed off. Everybody in L.A. is fat and happy right now except for Aaron Donald, and soon he will be too. I don't like it. Everybody's too satisfied. I've seen this with old Kansas City Chiefs teams. I can remember a 2003 Chiefs team, 13-3, lost in the first round of the playoffs. 9 guys went to the Pro Bowl. Dick Vermeil and the whole everybody just thought that, even though they lost in the first round, they just thought we figured out the entire league. Everybody's 7-9 the next year. And it was over. I don't like this. Too many satisfied football players sometimes is a disaster.
It's interesting.
I would have paid Aaron Donald before I paid the wide receiver, no offense,
yes,
or the running back. Because when you think about teams that have won recently, we don't say, well, they won because of the running back or they won because of the wide receiver. They win with pressure up the middle and protecting guys, which the Rams have as well. I just don't buy the Rams as high as everyone else does for a multitude of reasons. But one, they just play better quarterbacks this year. They play 6 or 7 better quarterbacks than last year. I know they have all the parts kind of there, but I think the hype is too much. We've seen the league year after year, the teams that are most hype just don't reach that hype besides the Patriots. We'll take them out of this. And so the Rams, to me, I like who they have. They have great personnel, but I don't think they're going to live up to that hype that they've set.
I like what they've done. I honestly like it. I think the question mark would be the Brandon Cooks deal. That would be the only question mark. I'm not knocking that he shouldn't have got it or he should, but that would be the only question mark. But paying Todd Gurley, somebody who's 36% of your offense, like that was well worth. I think you start there. When you look at other running backs or other players in this league, and he led the league in yards from scrimmage. He led the league in he was first in receiving receptions on their team, second in receiving yards. Like, he means so much to this team, and he does it the right way. He goes to work. He keeps his head down. We don't hear anything about him in the public eye, outside of the locker room. You don't hear anything. He does it the right way. He's a young guy. We didn't even hear about him having these contract talks. Like, it just kind of popped up.
His doesn't bother me. Let me ask. So Marcus Peters, Andy Reid's a tolerant guy. Okay, Andy Reid has been able to deal with personalities. He's like, uh-uh. Ndamukong Suh, I've heard NFL scouts tell me he plays for himself. He doesn't play within a scheme. So those are two guys. Aqib Talib, actually I like if he's on a winning team. When they go sideways, Aqib can be trouble. Man, that's a lot of diva. That's a lot of dysfunction, no?
It's a lot of dysfunction. Sorry to cut you. It's a lot of dysfunction, but high risk, high reward. if you can take a chance on all these guys because you're not tied to them financially. Akeem Talib, you're not tied to him financially like with a substantial amount of money. Marcus Peters, you're not tied to him financially with a substantial amount of money. Even Ndamukong Suh, like he is Ndamukong Suh, I believe, and my hope is that he'll be a different player because he has an Aaron Donald who is really their number one interior defensive lineman. So now I think that will motivate and we will then see another version
issue,
of Ndamukong Suh.
My issue is ego run amok. And I'm not talking about players because I think we can look at all these players. Hey, paying Ty Gurley makes sense. You can look at all these deals individually and say, hey, that makes sense. This guy can do this and this guy can do that and it makes sense. I just think, and again, I'm not taking a knock at Sean McVay, but he's so young. And so, and he had success so instantly, I don't think he realizes how hard this thing is and being a head coach. And so the Rams are operating to me like they have figured out football. And every decision makes sense. Let's pay this guy. Let's grab this guy. Brandon Cooks, you haven't even played for us, but let's pay you, blah, blah. They feel like they figured everything out. And I've never seen anyone.
Well, they did let Alec Ogletree go, and they let Robert Quinn go. So they have made decisions. To your original point, though, they feel really L.A., don't they? They kind of feel star-studded a little, right? Well, like, that's what worries me, that this town already it loves treating stars. Like, L.A. loves stars. This team feels it's, like, full of stars.
They're building their team like the Seahawks did with Russell Wilson under his rookie contract and like the Eagles did last year. Remember, the Eagles brought in Alshon Jeffrey on a one-year deal, Timmy Jernigan on a one-year deal. Those guys played well, and they extended them. Look at Sue, one-year deal, obviously. I think he'll be more motivated than most years because he's on that one-year. He wants to get paid again, right? Guys want to get paid. Peters, kind of on a rookie deal as well, the end of his deal. He wants to get paid. Right. He's going to play well. So I think these guys will be motivated, maybe not for the team, but for themselves, at least individually, to have great years to get paid.
All right, to a guy definitely paying attention to the Todd Gurley news, Le'Veon Bell of the Steelers. He was seeking more guaranteed money from Pittsburgh, and the Steelers reportedly only offered him a deal worth $10 million. That's it, guaranteed. Well shy of Gurley's record, $45 million. Bell responded after the news broke today, tweeting, quote, "Yeah, Todd," adding, LOL, "people thought I was tripping." Whitlock, should Bell be bothered by Gurley's enormous deal?
No, he should be happy because the market for running backs and top running backs just moved, and it moved his direction. You know, the issues that Le'Veon Bell has is he hasn't been as clean off the field as Todd Gurley. And so, you know, Le'Veon has wanted to get paid like a wide receiver. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, in terms of the $10 million guaranteed they offered him and Gurley gets 45, that does put $30 million in guarantee in play for Le'Veon Bell. He's that kind of player. And if he had no problems off the field, no suspensions, he could probably demand what Gurley got. But because he hasn't handled his business off the field as well, he'll get a little less.
Well, also, the Steelers have two Pro Bowl offensive linemen, a superstar receiver and the next great young receiver. They're good at tight end. They have a Hall of Fame quarterback. The Rams need Gurley.
Exactly.
Steelers were 10-4 when Le'Veon Bell was out for the suspensions.
They also averaged the same amount of points with Bell and without Bell. You know, the interesting thing about Bell, I'm fascinated to see his free agency because if you look at the teams that have cap space, they don't need running backs. And so we've seen that running backs typically re-sign with their own teams because they see that value within the running back. You know, I think DeMarco Murray was the last guy to get a huge contract. That did not even work out for him as well. So I don't think teams are going to pay him. I really don't. They're not going to pay him as a dual threat player. So I think he's going to be sad when it comes time to get paid because he's not going to get what Gurley got.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I agree with you, Colin. And I do think Le'Veon Bell should be bothered. To your point, yes, be excited for Ty Gurley because he raised the bar. But he should be bothered because, to your point, teams value their running back. A lot of other teams don't really value the running back position because they feel like there are a plethora of guys that can get this done by committee, let alone by. And then when you look at Le'Veon Bell, he's not their number one guy, even offensively. The glue starts with Ben, then the big playmaker in Antonio Brown. Then you look at Le'Veon Bell. With the Rams, it starts with Todd Gurley.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, one more scheme point really quick. His style is so different that he's got to play with that big offensive line. If he goes somewhere and they force him to be like a zone running back where he's got a one cut and go now, he will not succeed. So that's, I think, something that teams will look at as far as grading his film and deciding if he fits into their scheme or not.
Listen, the Rooney family historically is very loyal with coaches, and they tend to pay their quarterbacks. But I think to your point, Le'Veon Bell's got some baggage. And I think the Rooneys are saying, no, we're not going to pay you. And we are one of the first families of this league. And if you can't stay clean and you disrespect us publicly like that, we're going to disrespect you publicly. I mean, when you look at Le'Veon Bell's offer, $10 million guaranteed? I mean, that's less than a third of what Gurley got guaranteed.
Look, I get it, though, from the Steelers' perspective. If his record were clean, if he had no suspensions, I think they would pay him. I just think it comes down. The guy's been in trouble twice, and he hasn't carried it the proper way to get the maximum amount of money. And so I think this is a good day for Le'Veon Bell. The market moved. The Steelers will not bend, though. They're not going to give him Todd Gurley money. And perhaps no team was for the suspensions and for the reasons Jeff's talking about. What system does he fit in with his running style? It's not a running style that you can just play anywhere. So Le'Veon Bell should feel good, but he ain't getting Ty Gurley money, and I don't blame the Steelers for not giving it to him.
Welcome back. Greg Jennings, Jeff Schwartz here. Let's move to Jimmy Garoppolo, whose love life isn't the only thing raising eyebrows. Jimmy G saying in a new interview that he thought he was better than Tom Brady when he joined the Patriots, adding their competition was so intense there were times they wanted to kill each other. Brady helped force Jimmy G out of New England. Whitlock, you think Brady's play will actually suffer without Garoppolo pushing him? Because I do.
I know. I saw you on radio today pushing this narrative, and I was like, you know, he left last year and Tom was MVP. He wasn't there all year and Tom was MVP. You know that before Garoppolo, Tom Brady was a mega superstar. 2007, he hasn't had a good backup quarterback. Matt Castle, I don't think, was much of a threat. He couldn't even play at USC. And so I just don't – if Brady falls off a cliff or backs up, it'll just be because of Father Tom, not because of Jimmy
Brady's Jesus. Whole career, he's never been the biggest, the fastest, the best arm. He's played with a chip on his shoulder because he's always been threatened, chasing, or seeking something. He sought Belichick's approval. He was threatened by Peyton Manning. He was chasing Joe Montana. Garoppolo was a threat. The two times Garoppolo played after that awful Monday Night Football Kansas City loss, Garoppolo came in. Next 4 weeks, Brady was 12 touchdowns, no picks, best month of his career. Deflategate, Garoppolo plays. Brady's next four games, 14 TDs, no picks, 134 quarterback rating. The two best months of his career because Garoppolo was a threat. So was Peyton Manning. Bill Belichick, he no longer needs his approval. Peyton's out. Big Ben's never been a threat to his legacy. All summer long, he's on vacation.
Age is a threat, Colin.
Yes.
Garoppolo is a threat. Father Time's a threat.
Garoppolo pushed. Brady's always needed to seek, be threatened, chasing.
Matt Castle didn't push him. And yeah, I can remember the names of some of these other
He was still seeking Hoyer. Belichick's approval. Now he doesn't even need to seek that. He owns the room. Kraft's giving him the franchise. I'm not saying he's going to drop off a cliff, but you don't think Garoppolo pushed him? He told the owner, get him out of town.
I think that Brady is just a rare bird, man. He's a Michael Jordan type.
Exactly. Yep. You took the in Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech, do you realize and recall how many people did not know that they added fuel to his flame that was already a flame? Like, he didn't need them to know. He didn't need them to be present in the locker room, on the court with him. He just needed somebody to question him, somebody to doubt him, somebody to tell him what he possibly couldn't do. That's what great players, the greatest of all times, do. They find any little tidbit that will add to their flame that stays lit.
But Jordan also, when he lost the flame, he retired twice, realizing he didn't have the passion. You see Brady's body this summer? Looked like he's in great shape.
He's 40 years old. He's a 40-year-old quarterback.
He may have looked like that at 26, yeah, too. I just don't know if there's much difference.
His competition now, like you said, is time. He wants to play till he's 45. You can't sell your TB12 method and be here all the time. He wants to play as long as possible. He wants to win as long as possible. To your point, he's a special breed, man. He gets competitive over anything. He wants to win more Super Bowls. He wants to be the best ever. I don't see his fire dropping at all without Garoppolo.
I've seen him on a horse this summer. Okay. I mean, he's
also got a family. Look, he's got a family now, too.
Content.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's content.
No.
But I think he's enjoying time with his family.
Jeff,
now.
Answer this question.
Yeah.
Of all the years you've played, have you seen any of your quarterbacks or any other quarterback train with their helmet and shoulder pads in the offseason?
No.
Exactly. I have not seen that. And I've been around a lot of quarterbacks and trained with a lot of guys.
It's on a yacht there.
I don't care what it is. These are things you do when you still believe that you have everything in you to be the best player that this team could possibly have at the helm. That's his mentality. That's his psyche. That will not change because a player leaves or a player comes in. It is fueled by if a player comes in or possibly if a player leaves, but your psyche is what it is. That shows me right there. He's in a different class.
Listen, I think Brady could back up, but it'll be because of age. And just that's what happens to everybody. But because Jimmy Garoppolo's here or there, I think if anything right now, he might be more motivated to prove Belichick isn't the guy. I'm the guy. And he may be more motivated than ever. He might be. Alex Guerrero and him are just taking a little different approach to the offseason given his age.
He might watch you say that he's going to stick now and he's got motivation. Like,
I mean, yeah, we know he
watches everything or someone does.
I think he uses that to motivate himself, to your point. And he's older now. They have to find different ways to train him. And so
you guys don't think Garoppolo fueled him?
I think it did, but I think many things have fueled him throughout his career. To your point, he's
now,
never
what fuels him now?
No,
time, being the best.
Trust me, any player that's brought in as a player who is prominent and who's the guy, you've experienced it, I've experienced it, they bring a guy in, play your position, you notice, you can identify if he is brought in to replace you or he's brought in to fill in. Now, Garoppolo was brought in to eventually replace him. Brady, before anyone noticed it, probably noticed it. And so, yes, that drove him even more, but it didn't do anything to his psyche as far as changing it. It just drove him to prove a point even greater and keep that but. Like, he's the replacement, but. He wanted to keep that but in between that, yeah, just slide him right in here. No, he's not backing down.
All right, welcome back. Jeff Schwartz is back. We're joined now by the founder of the Big Lead, Jason McIntyre. Let's move to college football, where we've gotten used to seeing a lot of offseason antics out of Jim Harbaugh in recent years. But after another disappointing season in Ann Arbor, we've seen a quieter, humbler, quieter Jim Harbaugh this summer, including at yesterday's Big Ten Media Day, where he faced some tough questions.
Came into Ann Arbor with perhaps the most hype of any coach in the history of the Big Ten, maybe in all of college football. A few years later, you've got a third place, and fourth place finish, and you're 1-5 against Michigan State and Ohio State. What do you have to do this year to demonstrate to the Michigan community that you are on the path to achieving what they hired you to achieve?
Well, the improvement will lead to success, will lead to championships.
All right, Cowherd, you think Harbaugh has been humbled by his time in Michigan?
No, I think he thinks he's the best coach in college football. He won in the NFL. He got to a Super Bowl in the NFL. Nick Saban whiffed. Jimbo Fisher can't coach in the NFL. David Shaw, was he a star in the NFL? Was Chris Peterson? He's the only coach in college football who goes, no, I wanted the NFL.
What did he win?
He got to a Super Bowl. He won division.
He got to a Super Bowl.
No, he wasn't
Saban's
a disaster.
Got 8 or 9 national
championships.
Get out of here.
Spurrier disaster in the NFL.
Harbaugh won a Saban. National title. I mean, Spurrier won a national title.
And was a failure in the NFL.
That's fine. These guys coach to win titles, not get there, to win them. And so Harbaugh, the fact that he had to sit and listen to that line of questioning and the fact that he took it without any snark coming back lets you know the dude has changed. He's been put in his place.
Oh,
the
no
guy's way. A talented coach. But that's how he should have been treated from day one, rather than everybody falling at his feet and, oh, my God, you're the greatest
thing. You think he doesn't think he's the best coach?
I don't care what he thinks. I know what's been proven. Urban Meyer's better than him in the Big Ten. Nick Saban, far better than him in college football. That's what's been proven. And so he has an opportunity.
Dabo Sweeney
did better than him in college football.
4 years and didn't take over a shipwreck like Michigan was.
Michigan had great recruits.
It's a Brady Hoke shot.
No. They had great recruits. They underachieved. There was talent there. Other coaches would have other college. He's been a failure so far at Michigan.
No.
Do I think he's a talented guy and
a
has a
failure?
Great. He's got Shea Patterson this year, and they should be outstanding.
10 wins is failure?
Third,
the Big
fourth.
Ten.
Based off of expectations,
Big
Colin.
Big Ten football is in a renaissance. That network has made them.
He was supposed to be the leader of it.
Well,
he's not.
By the way, they're favored in magazines this year with Ohio State.
I want to see the proof, Colin. I've been liking Michigan for a long time and following the program for a long time. He has not lived up to expectations, and that's why that reporter stood up representing the fan base in Michigan and asked him what everybody wanted to hear.
That reporter said, you haven't lived up to the hype. Harbaugh doesn't control hype. Media controls hype.
Harbaugh was hyping himself.
No,
he was controlling the hype.
He's quirky and goes to Italy and does wrestling stunts because he gyms.
Sleeps at recruits' houses and
climbs trees.
Climbs
smart.
Drinks the milk in the
living room. Whitlock, you're a big gambler, right?
Yeah.
This looks like, to me, when Jim Harbaugh's talking to the media here, a guy who knows he's got a great hand. He has a great quarterback for the first time, a pro prospect at quarterback. Returns 14 starters from a pretty good team last year. He only returned 6 last year. They were 8-5. He had to juggle 3 quarterbacks last year. Jim Harbaugh knows, I got a good hand. You know what? I'm not going to gas him up. I'm going to slow play everybody here. I'm going to downplay things.
I hope you're
They
right.
are going to crush things in the Big Ten this year. Now, the schedule is brutal. At Ohio State.
That's a coach that's been humbled?
At Michigan State.
I mean,
at Notre Dame.
He's eating pizza.
Well, look at that.
That's the most arrogant thing in the world you can do. Is
that's humbled? You think that's a humbled guy?
Those are all last year, Colin.
All coaches, by the way, have egos. Every coach thinks they're the best coach of all time. I don't think he's been humbled as far as thinking he's the best, but I think he's learned, look, we can't have these great expectations. It's my fourth year. This is my year. I have my entire recruiting class now for the last 4 years in place. My defense has been great. My offense, it's my job. I'm the offense coordinator. I need to make the offense better. You mentioned Shea Patterson. Finally has a quarterback in place. The conference is really good. I just don't see them beating Ohio State this year. Penn State has really come up. Look, Penn State came from sanctions to where they are now. Harbaugh had talent and still can't win in the Big Ten, so there's a lot of pressure on him.
Jeff, you've made my point. I'm glad you mentioned Penn
State.
Can't
win, Jeff.
He's third and fourth. Michigan brought him into a national championships. End of story.
Yeah, but that's Michigan. Washington bought Chris Peterson into a national titles. Geographically, they're not going to.
Probably not, but he made a playoff in Washington with a team that was, 4-8 the year before?
James Franklin has done what Jim Harbaugh was supposed to do. James Franklin has outperformed Jim Harbaugh so far. I actually think this year, with Shea Patterson, met the kid this summer, he is super talented, and they should beat Ohio State this year and should contend for the Big Ten title with Shea Patterson. It's all there, but I want to see it. We anointed this guy and thought he was just going to come in and run roughshod over everybody in college football because he took one team to the Super Bowl and got beat. I want to see proof of it. And so do Michigan fans. They want to see proof. They've had it up to here with all the hype, all the antics.
A couple fluky last-second losses, and he'd have a win over Michigan State and Ohio State, and we'd be like, 10-10-10, we're happy.
His first year exceeded all expectations. Nobody anticipated 10-3. Well, that's the problem. Jim Harbaugh got expectations sky high, and now you guys are out here trashing him like he's not a winner in the Big Ten. I mean, 10-3, 10-3, 8-5. Michigan fans are ecstatic over this.
Jason.
Do you know what they were before he got there, Whitlock?
Jason, I worked in Ann Arbor, Michigan. My head football coach made his bones at Michigan.
Yes.
Again, you can shout all kinds of things. I actually know people in Ann Arbor, longtime Michigan fans. Satisfied? Are you kidding me? That reporter just stood up and represented what Michigan fans think and are saying. Ecstatic at 8-5?
Why did they sign him to a longer contract?
That's not Michigan fans. That's the University of Michigan.
That's part of the fans in the school. They're
the fans aren't running the school. There is dissatisfaction. Again,
so they want to run him out.
Who said this? No, Why are you hanging yourself?
You guys
Why
are
does
being
every
so
argument
negative.
Have to be taken out of context?
I just feel like Jim Harbaugh worked in Ann Arbor,
lived there, and know
if you could. By the way, Michigan State's recruiting's gone into the tank. Would you rather have Harbaugh in state or Mark D'Antoni? It ain't close. Not even close. D'Antoni can't recruit.
Colin, you're comparing Michigan State and Michigan fans. You just to even put Michigan State on the same platform of them is insulting. No. They're the little brother. So, no, of course they don't want to be Mark D'Antoni.
But if you put Harbaugh available outside of Ohio State, if you said Harbaugh's available on the open market, most of the Big Ten would say, we'd take Harbaugh. He's a really good coach. He's won everywhere.
That's accurate.
Right.
But he gets to coach at Michigan. You take every coach other than James Franklin and Urban Meyer, and they'd rather be coaching at Michigan. And it's a lot easier.
He's the fourth best coach, right? In conference, Franklin, Meyer, and Crist.
No. I think Urban and Jim are the best coach in the conference.
Paul Crist.
I think Paul Crist has a great staff. I think Wisconsin just does sports right. But if you told me on the open market, Harbaugh, Paul Crist, I'd take Harbaugh.
I think you may be proven right down the road with Harbaugh. But based off of what we've seen the last 3 years, you can't put him ahead of James Franklin or Urban Meyer.
I like both of them. I'm not saying I don't like James Franklin. Open market, who gets more?
At this point, I'm not sure. Okay. At this point.
To Baltimore, where Lamar Jackson appears to be going back on his pre-draft pledge not to play wide receiver, taking some snaps in the slot at Ravens camp and earning the praise of offensive coordinator Marty Morningweg. Been around a long time. He says Lamar is, quote, way ahead of the curve. Whitlock, do you think Lamar's potentially getting too much hype?
Yes, I think it's unfair to him how much focus there is on Lamar Jackson. He got Josh Allen drafted way ahead of him. Josh Rosen drafted way ahead of him. Baker Mayfield, all the other quarterbacks in the first round. The most conversation seems to be about Lamar Jackson. And, oh, my God, he lined up in slot. Yeah. He did this. Are they playing two quarterbacks? I think there's too much focus on him, too much expectations for him coming out as a rookie. I think it's unfair to Lamar Jackson. That's not a knock on Lamar Jackson's talent. It's a knock on us as the media. Are we doing this guy a favor by focusing this much attention on him this early?
Yeah, I mean, I still think he's a project. If you go back and look last 20 years, if you don't complete 60% of your throws in college, generally it doesn't work. Now, Matt Stafford was right on the line, but a lot of people think Matt Stafford's underachieved for his position in the draft, number one, and his talent. Add to that, he had Bobby Petrino, probably the most sophisticated offensive head coach in college football. 52, 55, 59, still under 60. So to me, he's a project. Josh Rosen is a prospect. He should be a top five guy. Sam Darnold, prospect. Now, I think he's better than Tebow. And Tebow won six games, won a playoff game. But I do think there's a lot of project here. I mean, nobody's talking about Rosen playing slot, Cam playing slot, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck.
Nobody's talking about Sam Darnold.
Well, the reason why is the Ravens have been in camp since July 11th, the rookies have. So that's partly why Lamar Jackson's getting all this notoriety. And plus, he's playing wide receiver, which he refused to showcase at all. Look, he's such an offensive talent. They're going to use him other places. Reports are, to your point about Garoppolo motivating Tom Brady, reports are Flacco hasn't looked better in years. His back is healthy. He's moving fine. And this really motivated him. So Lamar Jackson's not going to win the quarterback job out of camp. There's no way unless Flacco gets hurt. And they can't waste his talent. So they're going to put him wide receiver. They'll find wildcat packages for him. They'll find ways to use him, which is what I thought they would always do in year one, whoever drafted him. So this is – the hype to me is kind of where I thought he would be. He's going to play other positions on offense. And then if Flacco struggles, then they'll just transition to a different offense and put Lamar in and get rid of Flacco.
But to your point, the media has – he is the talk of camp.
He is. I think Jeff just – made a good argument defeating my point, though. They're the only ones in camp.
Let's not forget, Jeff, he's polarizing. And that's probably the reason for all this hype. I mean, a lot of people didn't think he could play quarterback in the NFL. That's why he fell in the draft. You know, we know what Darnold, we know Rosen. Not as polarizing. They're great prospects. Lamar Jackson's very polarizing. I mean, I think he's going to be a good quarterback, but there's a lot of teams that were just out on him.
Tell me this, though. Using the word polarizing, Who really is anti Lamar Jackson?
Well, I would say, you know, the people who said he completed, what, 59% of passes?
I have had two scouting directors I trust say, I don't think it's going to work.
Can he win from the pocket?
A lot of NFL people are, I'm not sure it's going to work. There's a lot of that out there. They don't want to be quoted because scouting directors don't want to put their name on stuff. But I think there is. I talked to two GMs, multiple scouts. Nobody said, Sam Darnold, I'm not sure. Everybody was like, should be the first quarterback taken. Baker was. Even Baker Mayfield, overwhelmingly, 70% completion rate, it'll work at some level in the NFL, though he's immature. I think with a Lamar, I think if you ask people in the league, they don't put their name on it, it's a 50-50.
Even Cam Newton completed like 68% of passes his senior year in college. If you look at completion percentage last year in college,
yes,
your junior year or senior year, the last quarterback, successful NFL quarterback, was Matt Ryan at 59.2%. Even Stafford was 61% his final year. Look at Russell Wilson. He went from 58% at NC State to like 72% at Wisconsin. So you see gradual improvement. Yeah. That's what worries me about Lamar. He played in a pro-style offense. He had easy throws to complete. He just didn't do it. And Josh Allen as well. I think Josh Allen's, you know,
I think that's a big problem. Welcome back, Jason McIntyre, joined now by Fox NBA analyst, our friend Jim Jackson. Let's move to Cleveland, where the Cavs don't have much to look forward to after LeBron James left, with an aging roster of overpaid role players. But they're still doing what they can to salvage the year. Today, handing Kevin Love four-year extension, $120 million large. Dan Gilbert tweeting, quote, the Cavs franchise proud to extend five-time All-Star Kevin Love, NBA champ Kevin Love, for four additional years. K-Love has been nothing but class since he arrived in 2014. We look forward to this leadership and the exciting years ahead. We grind every day just like Cleveland. Whitlock, smart move there?
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant move. I think that come the trade deadline, this is going to look awesome, that some team can trade for Kevin Love with 3 years left. He won't be some rental. And so I think Cleveland has the best of both worlds. They'll get to see him play for 3 or 4 months. Decide they could stay the course, he could play so well, and who knows where they may finish in the East. It's so depleted. Or he'll be a great trade asset for a team trying to contend.
All right, 30 million a year?
Yeah.
If you're rebuilding, don't you want really movable contracts? That's a lot of money for Kevin Love. In today's space game, he struggles to defend. He's aging. He's had injuries. That's a lot. Who's going to say, I want a $30 million Kevin Love? They almost moved him out of Cleveland four times. That was with LeBron elevating him.
These contracts are going, I just don't know if a five-time All-Star that's relatively young, I just don't think that's at $30 million. I think that's...
Now, the cap's going up, right?
Yeah.
But $30 million?
Yeah.
Is that a tradable contract?
Well, it just depends, too, because you think about the assets they probably could get. Let's back up, too, because when LeBron left before this Cleveland team was... You know, you didn't have any players. It's dismantled. Nothing was there. So you got to have something to go into the season with. Colin Sexton is coming in. You sign back Kevin Love. Now, I do agree in regards to two things. One, Kevin Love being a little bit older. How do you trade that contract? Who wants to take it on? But Cleveland has to salvage some kind of face for losing LeBron. They have to have something there, some kind of meat to bring some people in to say we're just not tanking and throwing everything in. But I do believe that he'll be used for trade bait a little bit later to try to get younger, some more talent, maybe some draft picks.
I think you nailed it with the Dan Gilbert reaching to do something after losing LeBron. But listen, Colin hit this on the head. This is an unathletic, injury-prone guy who's turning 30 in September. Okay? The stretch four who doesn't defend, like, who's going to want him? He's like a good number two or number three, maybe.
I think he's a good three. Three.
And what team, too, that's a championship-caliber team? Because you think about that's who you're going to trade and get value for. A team that's younger that probably is still trying to figure it out, what values do they have that makes sense to bring in an older player
think
like that?
Think about how many of the good players in the league are now forwards. You got to defend LeBron. You got to defend Kawhi. You got to defend Durant. Kevin doesn't defend those guys.
Let's say they're the fourth place team in the East next year.
Ooh, that's
fine.
What the
East?
Oh, that's
come
pretty
on,
good.
Come
Washington,
on,
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Let's say they're the sixth.
Let's say they're sixth.
Okay.
How would they get there? What numbers would Kevin Love be putting up with no LeBron James, this rookie Colin
25.
Sexton? 25. He's going to be putting up nice numbers.
But that's not fact. That is you saying they'll be a sixth seed. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. You're saying he's averaging 25. I think those days are done.
Isn't it Minnesota all over again?
Why? Big number. Why won't he put up
not the same player?
You know why? Because in Minnesota, you got to think about it, he played on the post a lot more. Kevin Love got a lot of touches inside. He was the main factor. He's gone away from that. Keep in mind, when
he as a can't go back.
No, here's the thing. When you've gone away from that for so long, like Chris Bosh, you get uncomfortable in that position because you haven't been down there. Think about when they post him up. He has to think about his move. Not to say that he can't be effective, but he won't be the Kevin Love that we saw in Minnesota.
It's not a back to the basket league anymore. Like, he's a shooter.
And he needs somebody to create for him right now.
And he's also been injured the last couple years.
I just think he's going to put up numbers, and people mm-hmm. come February and like, man, look at those numbers Kevin Love put up. And at that price, it won't seem ridiculous to trade for him at the deadline and think I'm going to make a run. I think they put themselves in a good position. All right, to Kawhi Leonard, whose time in San Antonio may be over, but the drama over his split with the team may not be, with Spurs legend David Robinson saying he actually tried to help smooth things over with Kawhi, but the notoriously quiet star wasn't really interested.
He's a hard guy. I mean, he's just quiet. He doesn't, you know, I've reached out to him several times and just never hear anything back from him. I think the whole time he's been here, I've talked to him maybe a handful of times, and I can count on one hand how many words he's really said to me. So he's just a quiet guy, and I think that that's made it difficult, I think, for all parties to really understand each other in this process. It's one of the oddest situations I think I've seen since I've been in pro basketball. He's a hard guy to understand. He's a hard guy to read.
David Robinson on Kawhi Leonard, you hear that. Is that a red flag for you as him a potential face of a franchise?
No. I mean, listen, if I'm Toronto, not every movie has to be a franchise. I can just make a one great movie. We're going to just have one great year. We upgraded. He's better than DeMar. Let's go have a great year. And then if you don't want to stay, we're sitting there thinking 50-50. If he stays, boy, look at Toronto's history. He'd be the best player they ever had, wouldn't he?
If you're the Clippers, would you be concerned?
That's a great question. The Clippers, what's their history? You take Kawhi Leonard. Okay. If you're the Celtics, maybe. With all their pieces. Right. If you have Ben Simmons, Embiid, I'm not sure. But you're mentioning Toronto and the Clippers, the Dallas Mavericks. I would take him in a heartbeat.
But here's the thing, too. With Kawhi, we always talked about it internally. They loved Kawhi because he was quiet. He went about his business. He was professional. He didn't create any waves. Now when you can't communicate with him to keep him to stay because he's upset, now it's hard to deal with him from that stuff.
But he's a mystery.
But you loved when he was a mystery
That's
before.
Funny.
But now, because he won't communicate with you the way you want.
The mystery's been unwrapped now. Dude is a little odd.
No, but he was unhappy. He was unhappy what happened with the doctors. But if you're Toronto, you have to do each and everything you can do to try to persuade Kawhi that he's the man and he needs to come back after 1 year.
He may be a lot more like guys in the 70s, 80s, and 90s who didn't want to be Instagram stars.
He may seem
odd because he's just normal. He doesn't want to go to clubs.
No, I don't know, man. You can't have a conversation with David Robinson?
Well, no. What entails becoming the face of the franchise? You got to give a lot of interviews, right? Yeah. You got to be on social media. As much as we bash social media, you got to be on there. And you got to be like that personality in the locker room. Yeah. This isn't Kawhi Leonard, but I got to agree with these guys. I don't think it matters. You got a star who's going to put up 25 and 5 and
play
great defense.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if he doesn't talk to anybody.
Listen, you get past the 7th pick in the NBA draft, you start running out of players. There's not a lot of Kawhi Leonards on the market.
I get it. The only thing where I'm a little bit worried about is he got to play in Pop's system.
Right.
Where I think it fit his personality, and they put a system together that exploited his skills. Wherever he goes from here on out, unless it's Brad Stevens, he's not going to be playing for as good a coach as Greg Popovich. And so when you take that system away and you add the quirkiness and his lack of communication, that's, to me, a potential issue. And so Pop figured out, hey, here, we know how to use him, we're going to put him, blah, blah. It wasn't because they sat down and talked it out. It's just like, Pop's a genius. He works that way in basketball. I just don't know if Kawhi, you just move him and set him in any city and think it's just going to work.
But I'll say this. Let me defend him. Mm-hmm. Charles Barkley was a riot from day one. Hated to practice. Didn't play a ton of defense. You know, I love Charles, we do, because he gives us content. Mm-hmm. But Charles is an outlier. Most athletes would rather not do a ton of interviews. I mean, most athletes aren't Steve Nash. They want to get into documentaries and they want to...
No. But my point is about communicating with the coach. Again, I think Pop was able to pull something off without a lot of communication with Kawhi because Pop's just that smart and that good. I think most coaches actually need to communicate with their athletes in order to figure it out.
I believe that, too. And I think Kawhi's situation was so great because expectations were low coming out of college. He played with Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker, so he was able to learn. They were able to bring him along slowly. To your point, what's the next system going to look like that's really going to make him comfortable and look good? We don't know if he's a freestyle player that can go out and really go get his points and carry a team. We don't know that yet. So it's going to be very interesting in Toronto, one, how you surround Kawhi, but what position you put him in for his skill set, because I still think the best two-way player in the league, but is he the kind of guy that's going to get me 55, 60 wins in the playoff series, be able to go seven-game series and get me those key wins that we need on the road? Just don't know yet.
Rookie head coach?
Exactly.
And a bunch of players that won't be nearly as experienced as Parker, Ginobili, exactly, and all that, and he doesn't communicate. This could be very interesting. All right, welcome back. Time for Last Call. Let's move to Dwayne Wade, who is trying to figure out his next career move, which could be to China, after a team there offered the free agent a 3-year, $25 million contract. Cowherd, should Wade take his talents to China?
Should T.O. play in the CFL?
Yes.
I don't like it. I think it feels beneath him. It's a money grab.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't like grabbing money? is there something funny, more fun than grabbing money?
I'm not going to get into that.
Look, $8 million a year, and I think he could probably get more. He's probably got a shoe interest over in China. It's not the worst offer. All right, to the NFL, where reportedly the usually solid Julio Jones will hold out from training camp until he gets a new deal he wants, while erratic Odell Beckham Jr. is planning to show up at training camp despite not getting a new deal. Cowherd, I can't believe I'm asking this. Who will be a bigger headache this year, Julio or OBJ?
OBJ. I think at a DNA level, Julio Jones is easy to coach, works his tail off, is low maintenance. He's having a bad month. I think OBJ at his core is all sorts of headache.
I tend to agree with you, but when people start grabbing for money, they kind of lose their mind, and so maybe we'll see it from Julio.
Don't go to China, D-Wade. Don't.